He was a provincial cup champion on the footy field, dominated the Ironman claimers, and now is a Group 1 tipster. His name is David Gately, or Gator to his mates. So let's welcome in Gator for Racing Rewind on RSN Central.
It's a very good morning to you, Gator. It was another big day at the office for the Gator fans. Did you enjoy your weekend?
Mate, it was terrific days racing. What they've done to that Magic Millions race day and then the whole week is amazing. It's great. And loved seeing you and Felgate run amok up there. And everyone but me. No, it was good.
Felgate run amok and he ran that big of a muck. He didn't turn up for work, they tell me, this morning. So hopefully he's okay, Michael. But you were the superstar, Gator. I was only there for a little part of the meeting before I had to get back to Melbourne after doing race day mornings there live from the Gold Coast. But your voice, along with Andrew Martin on Sky Racing, was blaring out because in between races, we were getting your tips for Melbourne, Sydney. It was like they were playing Sky Racing one over the course. And you were a fan favourite there because you tipped 5 out of the 9 on top there on the Gold Coast on Saturday. You declared the Queensland favourite Isotope, and then Coolangatta was your best bet there, Gator. So if you're on the Gold Coast, you wouldn't have had to pay for a drink there on Saturday.
Mm. Yeah, another missed opportunity. Yeah. I mean, I'm a cheap shout these days.
So. We know that from Friday night racing there on Manukau Stakes night.
Indeed.
Hey, I booked myself in for the... Now, I've got a lot of work to do, but the Gold Coast Marathon in the middle part of the year, I've identified that as the flattest track to kickstart my marathon career.
It's a fast course. Yeah. It doesn't make you fast, but it is a fast course. So hopefully the training goes well, mate, and you enjoy it and you stay sound, which is half the battle won. I think it's just as hard getting to the start line as the finish line, to be honest, sometimes.
Hopefully I don't get back in my marathon races, because if the track plays like it did there on the Gold Coast on Saturday when we got an upgrade there to a good 3, it was difficult in the early part anyway to make up some ground there on the Gold Coast on Saturday, Gator.
Yeah, I read it the same way, which was, it hasn't been the case at that meeting for the last few years. So, look, there were still run-on horses.
We just lost Gator. He's just dropped out there. Yeah, we'll try and get him back on the line there. So it was a day where, you're there, Gator? He's back. He's ready to go. He just dropped out there. Take it away, Gator.
Yep.
He was there.
Oh, I was just saying that it's not as if those that were racing near the speed and were winning were... You there?
Yeah, well, do you know what we'll do? We'll take a break here, Gator. We'll hang up and we'll get on the phone. Once again, that app fails to work when you need it most. It's 23 minutes past 11. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back with David Gately with a better line. I promise you that straight after this. We're talking racing and recapping a big weekend of racing with Racing Rewind, of course, and David Gately. It's 24 minutes past 11. And Gator, we were just mentioning before regarding the track. It was upgraded to a good 3 nice and early in that meeting. And if you were in the second half of the field, it was difficult to be in the finish.
Yeah, look, I agree with that. I'm not sure where I was up to, but there were some run-on horses, so it wasn't. I don't think it was anything savage, but you know, it's not as if the horses near the speed were 100-1 either. But generally, at that meeting, it's been a good track to be off the fence running on, and that wasn't the case on Saturday. I think it was certainly more advantageous to be in the first half of the field for sure.
How good's Coolangatta? And even the second horse, I thought, was really impressive too, finishing hard and giving Coolangatta something to think about in Russian Conquest.
Yeah, look, the Quinella were excellent, weren't they? They had a bit of a margin on third in Snack Cat. But Coolangatta, I think it's a case of all honours winner. They both had a good run, first and second behind the speed, but Coolangatta's the one that made an early move. I think, J-Mac was onto it. I think he was pretty confident he was on the best filly. Peeled out while Russian Conquest sort of saved and had the last look at her. Couldn't get by her, so I think that the right horse certainly won the race, but the margin was relatively small. Time was quick. I mean, it was a pretty quick day overall, but I think they're two of our elite two-year-olds, no doubt, the Quinella.
Who would you like to be going forward with heading towards a Golden Slipper? Do you think Russian Conquest can make up that difference over Coolangatta over the next couple of months?
Oh, well, For sure, it's just you can. It's the level of improvement, isn't it, from young athletes that is always going to take them further than the ones with less improvement. It's pretty simple. And that's what it's going to come down to. There's nothing I've seen from Coolangatta, though, to say that she won't continue to progress either. And as I say, I think if you swap the runs, she wins by more. But that's just an opinion. I think she's the best two-year-old around at the moment.
King of Sparta was impressive to take out the Guineas.
Ultra.
Yeah.
Dude, that was some win. He pulled his head off. We spoke to, you guys did, spoke to Duff Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Ron Duff, who's got family members in the ownership, I think. And the big concern was, first go at 1400, will he be able to relax? Well, he didn't, but he thrashed them anyway. And how was that change-up speed he showed? He went from off them to putting the race away in a few strides. If you took the 6.50 early, happy days, into 3.9, and it started at $4. And a brilliant win. Runner-up's a really good filly too, and had a similar margin on the third horse.
Yeah, Mimi Lagarde was finishing strongly as well, and Socialist, who Wilborn gave us a bit of a tip at around 60-1 at the start of the sales there last week. He just snuck in for a place, and horses like, I was looking forward to seeing what Jamea could do first up, but she just got too far back there, Gator, on Saturday.
Yeah, it was always, I thought it was a bit of a task for her, first up at 1400, but she had tried well, she's got a bit of class, King of Sparta was right alongside her, wasn't he, mid-race, so I wouldn't go with the too far back sort of thing. I think whenever they race each other, I'll be tipping King of Sparta.
Isotope for mine was the run of the meeting. I love the way that she has come back. She nearly lost her life after having colic there in the autumn, and they had to nurse her back and away. But Tony Golan's done a wonderful job with her. She was first up, and she made some really good horses look second rate there on Saturday, Gator.
Yeah, look, it was... you couldn't have scripted it any better. She had the perfect run, didn't she? As I think a roughie went up and sort of sat outside a way game to make her work in the run, whilst Isotope just sat behind them, peeled out. But what she did do was win very well. She was first up off a long way. If she had even luck every run, what would her record be? She might be 8 from 11 or 9 from 11 or something. She just is an absolute star of the turf. She's run quick time, as you'd expect, and sailed by away game, who was coming off a brilliant run behind Marabai, and many are tipping to win an Oakley Plate in a few weeks.
I think there's a Group 1, maybe an Isotope once again in the autumn, Gator.
Yes, I would agree with that sentence, 100%. I think she's a Group 1 horse, yep.
Snap Dancer did the job pretty easily in the fourth there for the mares, the Magic Millions mares over the 1,300 metres when she owned that race from outside that leader.
Yeah, controlled it. I thought it was a really good steer. 7 what was actually a moderate tempo relative to the class. They went about 4.5 lengths below average, which really suited her. Back on top of the ground is the key. I think she handles the wet track okay. She's only been on it once, but I think she's a really good dry tracker. Runs time on top of the ground of a good horse. So big last 600 figure off a moderate tempo. Margin significantly 2 lengths on Volpine, Kiki, Brookspire, Crone. You know, some of those Group 1 winners or Group 1 place, aren't they? So some good scalps from her.
0416 90 50 52. Have you got a question for David Gately for Racing Rewind? Hey, we'll touch on Melbourne now, and then if you've got a question regarding the other meetings that Gator covered over the weekend, especially that one up in Sydney as well, send us through your question and we'll ask the great man. Just that two-year-old race excited everybody there on Saturday at Flemington because there were so many booms on these first starters. Geez, Julius Sandu does a great job with his team. Lofty Strike was the outsider nearly, or it was the third outsider of the race behind the two Godolphin runners. But Lofty Strike was impressive to defeat English Riviera, who was brave back in second as well.
Yeah, she certainly sped along English Riviera. She crossed over and went about 7.5 lengths above class average for two-year-olds. So she was good. Winner was better. Had a softer run. Sat in behind them. Got the last look. But still going to be good enough to run by them. And agree with everything you said. Julius, his trial before that was very good. He jumped out the same game as Maximilius, who was backed. His time was faster. But I think, you know, punters gravitate to some stables over others, you know, and they probably shouldn't, you know, judge all on face value. And a lot of these trainers, like Julius, if they get a good horse, they get him to win. Overall time here was pretty slow, which has me concerned, but there was a gap back to third, and that third horse was Jamara, who was coming off a really good run. So, you know, the clock doesn't tell the whole story, but I think they're entitled to run quicker time.
So people were expecting this could be a two-year-old shaping race in a way. Do you think that we might have got a little bit carried away from the trial form after watching and then analysing that race, Gator?
Yeah, look, I do, because it's not as if it was a really slow day and they were running into a howling sort of headwind. Yeah. The other sprint races were actually run, you know, were pretty good time-wise. So given the speed that English Riviera set, they should have been able to run quicker time. It's as simple as that. But they're all on debut, bar one. So it's going to come down to level of improvement over assessing a horse's career after one run, I think is a terrible idea.
Yeah, Decent Rain was unlucky at its previous start, and Matthew Cartwright gave it a wonderful ride there on Saturday, and Ungawa, I thought, was an eye-catcher as well, late.
Yeah, he's just got to get rid of this habit of laying in, Ungawa. It may well have cost him two wins, his prep. But you're right on Decent Rain. I mean, she was an exceptional win. What would her record be? She's a mini isotope. What would her record be if she had every chance, every time? When she had clear air, she looked brilliant. And that was a fabulous win. She ran good time. Home 11.40 with 59 kilos, giving weight to the males. All honours winner, terrific. And, you know, credit to the stable to keep her up this long.
In the three-year-old races, the Cunning Fox, the horse that you want to be following out of it, Dunkerry, was brave. And then there was a bit of a break to bring the stars, and Can't Go Wong, who had to carry 60 kilos there, Gator.
Yeah, look, it was an odd sort of race. First two out, first two home, moderate tempo. A lot of them still very early in the career, though. Overall time was okay, you know, without sort of raving. An odd sort of race. Bring the Stars, best closer, home 11.68. Celtic Glory was good, but he was 100-1. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to make of the race, to be honest. But look, a lot of these, as you referenced, still very early in the career, stepped to a trip for the first time. So plenty of room to move. You know, there are eight last start winners in it. So a fabulous race. Difficult to assess, but we'll see how it plays out. But I'm not totally sold yet.
I think we learned a little bit too on Saturday at Flemington is that we had a lot of horses on the pace that dominated proceedings there in their races. But then when you have a look at the times, etc., Gator, is that tempo plays a major part. And I think maybe not to be missed, and the situation with him proves just that. Like Fred, in the stewards' report, he was instructed to go back and save him from one last crack at them. But when you get a horse like Dad Doustart that goes forward and you don't expect it to go forward on your speed map and then gets in everybody's way, and then they dominate up front tempo-wise, it makes it impossible for those horses to win. So that's the part, in, as you well know, Gator, as a form analyst, is that you've got to try and work out and close your eyes and picture how this race will pan out in the early part, because not necessarily the fastest horse wins, even though I don't know if he was he slightly disappointing still under those circumstances not to be missed?
Well, I mean, he was near the runner-up, wasn't he, when they straightened. Just the canter sort of left him behind. He was still race fast at home, but he's just run off his feet a bit. I just wonder if he's looking for a little bit further. But I mean, look, he easily beat Blaise Jowski prior to that, and he sat three wide, no cover doing it. So I don't know how you could tip Blaise Jowski to turn the tables on him off their last start runs, but that's the nature of the great game. You know, had we known Blaise Jowski would sit 1-1 and not to be missed at spot them 12 lengths, maybe that'd be a different tipping scenario. But yeah, look, he ran well. I was expecting a little more, even allowing for all those factors you referenced on Saturday. But the speed map and speed of race is super important, especially when there's not a lot of talent between them. And we're getting a lot of benchmark racing, Melbourne and Sydney at the moment.
Hal Vorsen, he just loves the straight. And Robbie Griffiths and Matty de Kock have just got him in the zone at the moment.
Yeah, they do. Just stepping to 1,200 was the key, wasn't it? They stayed at 1,000 metres. Obviously, your plan, probably one run too many off that brilliant return win And Maliva held him off at 1,000. But I think it's always going to be advantage Helgorsen over Maliva at 1,200.
Yep.
And he was able to run it down. It's our time with 2 kilos less was gallant, but when it was simply too good. And the astrologer just gave them all weight, so he's run enormous, but that's what he does. Every single time he runs, he's such a ripper. Overall time here, fast, off really strong speed, did 12 lengths above average. Time 1.87 is a good gallop.
Were you happy with Chiraf's return to the racetrack?
Yeah, she was good. I thought she just sat off the lever inside her. Never the ideal scenario, is it, up the straight. She never caught Maliva, but they crossed the line together. They both beaten 1.4 and 1.6 respectively. And as I say, time was fast. So she had level weights with Helgorsen too. So never easy for a mare. A good return.
Time for your questions now, 0416 90 50 52. If you've got a question for Gator. Gator, I know you don't like bagging jockeys, but do you think not to be missed as jockey Kersley overdid it when waiting to make his run? Or was he a victim of circumstances?
Well, I think they had a plan from the gate. It's not a plan I would have employed, but that was the plan. And we've seen this horse only 2 starts ago come from a back in a cold ride and win. So I can certainly see what they were thinking. When the speed sort of was pretty solid mid-race, he was just running off his legs a bit. He couldn't improve into the race. But yeah, Justicander was simply better than him in the run of the line. I think that's the real key to it. I assess races relative to A, the race, and then the day is how I work it. So he was probably the third best run in the race. That's the end of that story. We'll see how he goes next time, maybe over further.
A lot of SMSs coming through about this Perth mare, Miss Kentucky. She was awesome to win an Ascot once again. And Tom wants to know, Gator, is it Miss Kentucky in Ascot or at Ascot a rocket? What do you think of her, and will she come over east soon? Well, I can answer that last question. Simon Miller is hesitant to travel with her. I think the Oakley Plate, people are saying, including our great mate Dean Lester, who's a great friend and helps out Simon as well with a few of his horses, suggested that the Oakley Plate would be perfect for her. But when horses can't fly over here with a lack of transport options, then it makes it difficult for WA horses to compete over in the eastern states. So I think she'll be kept home unless the travel situation changes. But there's no doubt about her quality, Gator, because she has got a wonderful finish on her.
Yeah, look, it is interesting, isn't it? It's a real shame that those sort of things are happening. But look, we're still in that global pandemic, so I get it. She's a star. You just can't do what she's doing if you're no good. It's as simple as that. She's got tremendous talent. I can't wait to see her over here when we do.
Gator, I love the performance of Divine Diosa. I think there's definitely a win in her at her next start. Your thoughts?
Yeah, good return. Nicola Vito was better, but she ran a really good race here. Midfield, sort of off the rail, kept closing. Winner was held up a bit and then zoomed. And the late sectionals tell the story with the winner over Divine Diosa. But as I say, really good return. She was second best, second home, probably the third or fourth best run in the race. She jumped out quite well prior to the race without raving. So I think she's in for a good prep, yep.
What'd you make of Picaroon in the last race, Gator?
Good. Sort of a sneaky good run. I mean, given the tempo, they went 6.5 lengths below average early. It was left for those near the speed to dominate it. And that's what they did. They ran first, second, fourth. Sweet Carolina's closed off well, 11.60. She just couldn't quicken off that slow tempo. I think she's a coming winner. Picaroon from a mile back straightening up off that tempo. Didn't have any hope. But ran home nicely. She was raced fast, 4 to 2. Then ran home 11.64. So 4/100 seconds slower than Sweet Carolina. Quite a good run given the race shape.
Gator, I've been on Somerset more than her last couple of starts, and she has been a little unlucky. Or is she one of those horses that gets herself into trouble like this, and her, her racing pattern makes her look unlucky when she probably should make her trying to relay this message the best I can. Yeah. Just try. She needs to the way that she goes about at Gator, that she could improve her racing pattern to take bad luck out of the equation, basically.
Yeah, look, I think they can, shown in the past, they can settle closer to the run, but was actually in a pretty good spot given the trifecta in this race sat last, second last, and third last. So he was back with the winner and the third horse, and the winner gave him 7 kilos. So, look, it is difficult to say he should have won. He was held up, he ran on strongly, raced quicker time at the end. I think should have finished closer, but I can't take anything away from Dark Dream. The trifecta, they're Jack, the fourth horse too. So, interesting race.
Gator, how good was Aim's run on the weekend there on the Gold Coast?
Which horse?
Aim. The Snowden runner.
Don't know.
I'll find that out for you what race it was. But I think it was pretty good. Having a look at the replays there yesterday. He had a good day, or the Snowdens had a really good weekend up there on the Gold Coast. Geez, they've got a... I think they've got one of their better teams of young horses coming through the ranks once again.
Yeah, look, terrific trainers. I don't think you need me to tell you that. You know, from a punting perspective, I have a lot of confidence when I back them. So
yeah,
that's the way I answer all those questions. You know, you ask me about a jockey or a trainer, you speak with your wallet or your purse. If you're willing to have a bet, you're obviously backing there what you're seeing from both rider and trainer, aren't you?
Gator, who's going to win the NFL? I know that you love your NFL. Do you have a tip for us?
Yeah, well, look, I tipped the Bills at the start of the year with on Josh Jenkins' little podcast there. He hasn't given me a rap yet, but they haven't won it yet. They only won their first round. So I'm going to stick with the Bills. Obviously scared stiff of what Green Bay are doing. But, it's a lot of fun. Good sport, that one.
So why do you love the NFL so much, Gator?
I don't know. I think I sort of fell in love with it many moons ago in the old Bo Jackson era. But Deion Sanders, Jerry Rice, I think I'm just drawn to really good athletes. I think that's what drew me into horse racing to start with. And the NFL, and I love the tactics. Like the best description I heard about gridiron was it's a cross between chess and war. And I thought that's apt. Yeah. The tactics are amazing, but the athlete's phenomenal as well.
I find it fascinating that it's still, despite all the tactics, and you've got players that just play important roles, but they might be only on the ground for 2 or 3 minutes, like the punter, for instance. But he can win or lose you a match. Mm. But it does rely heavily on your quarterback.
Oh, look, I think, you know, similar to a number of sports, probably our AFL's the odd one out here. I think they have I wouldn't say unhealthy, because it is what it is, but they certainly have a reliance, don't they? It's really difficult to win a Super Bowl with an average quarterback. I think the last one was probably, with respect, Brian Johnson, when he was able to quarterback for Tampa Bay under Gruden. And he wasn't a great player, I think, by his own admission, but they just had a really solid game plan around him. But you really need, you know, because they touch the ball every single time, just about, they become so important, don't they?
Yeah, San Francisco 23. It looks like they might just be hanging on over Dallas 17 in their wild card match. And there's a lot of disappointing Cowboy fans out there once again, Gator.
Yeah, look, they've had a good run. Both those franchises have had a fabulous run. So coming back for the Raiders for the last couple of decades, you can have a sook. But I think we're on the right track, the Raiders.
Was there any eye catches or black bookers from that meeting in Sydney there on Saturday?
Oh, look, it was a disappointing meeting.
A lot of benchmark racing. I know you love your benchmark racing on a Saturday, Gator.
Look, you can't have the championships every week.
No.
But I don't think you need to water it down that much. But look, anyway, I'll lose my job. But anyway, look, blanket finishes, big field, leader bias track. Really tough, I thought. Really tough. Look, in a few weeks, we're back into carnival mode, aren't we?
You sound like one of those coaches at a media conference that's been probably a little bit hard done by the officials. And you know that if you make a comment that there could be issues for you after this interview when the phone starts ringing from your employer, this employer, of course. But I can understand, Gator. So I won't be one of those journalists that ask that question. What did you think of that meeting? And do you think Racing New South Wales need to improve some of their Saturday meetings? I won't ask you that question, Gator. We'll move on.
The carnivals are brilliant. Yep. Absolutely brilliant, the way they've done it. So we're not far away from another one.
Yeah. All right, then, Gator. It's always a lot of fun. So you're with the... obviously, you think that Tom Brady will be hard to beat in the NFL, but your Bills will be the side to beat.
Yeah, look, they're not my team, but there's certainly a financial and ego investment there, so we love those. It'll give us strength anyway.
Good luck, Gator.
Cheers, mate.
There's David Gator.